getting into the NFL offseason, more signings here and there. As I mentioned this week, I will give you my full March Madness bracket. That time is not here yet. We do have some play-in games kicking off tonight. So we are right around the corner from that start as well. And of course, I'll wrap up the show with a loaded bold takes. But let's get right into it here on a Tuesday. As I mentioned, we do have the MLB season, which is pretty much here. Again, that Korea series, which will kick off, as I mentioned, 6 a.m. tomorrow. So if you're an early riser, you're going to have some regular season baseball on tomorrow during your breakfast as the Seo series starts 6:05 on ESPN. We get a matchup of Tyler Glasnow coming over from Tampa in the offseason, joining that all-star team that the Dodgers have put together and then going up against Yu Darvish for the San Diego Padres. Speaking of the Dodgers, though, it's pretty crazy how stacked, as I referred to it as an all-star team, because this Dodgers lineup, it's pretty crazy that you have three favorites to win the NL MVP, three of the top four favorites to win the NL MVP in the same lineup. Mookie Betts has plus 650 odds. After that, you have Ronald Acuna, and then it's Freddie Freeman and Shohei Ohtani in the mix as well. You have three of the top four players to win the NL MVP in that lineup. And as we know, it has already been announced that Mookie Betts will be leadoff, followed by Freddie Freeman batting two, and Shohei Ohtani batting in that three spot. That is a pitcher's nightmare. That right there is so scary for an opposing pitcher. But that is what Yu Darvish will be up against tomorrow morning over there in Korea. As for Yu Darvish's former teammate, Blake Snell, last year's NL Cy Young Award winner, has finally agreed to a contract. He is staying in that NL West division, not in San Diego, though, traveling up north to the San Francisco Giants. The Giants and Blake Snell have agreed on a two-year, $62 million contract to head to San Francisco. Interesting how this kind of all went down. Scott Boras, the biggest agent across the MLB. You know, he represents some of the biggest stars in the league, and he had a pretty big free agent class in terms of his clients this year. As we know, Jordan Montgomery, who remains a free agent, is represented by Scott Boras, as was Cody Bellinger and Matt Chapman. Matt Chapman is now going to be Blake Snell's teammate over there in San Francisco, but he got a contract that was much less than I think Scott Boras and Chapman expected in the offseason. Boras's whole strategy seemed to be this offseason to wait teams out. He thought, you know, what the strategy seemed to be is we're going to play this deep into spring training when teams start to get desperate and they'll say, all right, finally, we'll dish out this big contract. Well, seems like the MLB teams basically called Scott Boras on his bluff and said, all right, fine. You know, you want these outlandish contracts? You want these ginormous contracts? Well, we're just not going to buy in. We're not going to give it to you. We're holding out. And essentially, that's exactly what happened. Cody Bellinger, coming off an MVP season, he held out. Scott Boras' agent, he was looking for a multi-year contract. He ends up going back to the Cubs on a two-year deal. Chapman gets a two-year deal lower than his annual value was set at. And now, same thing with Blake Snell. Blake Snell coming into the offseason. Boras and him were requesting a nine-year, $270 million contract. That was his initial asking price for the 31-year-old starting pitcher. That's what they were looking for. They were looking for 9 years, $270 million. Well, from teams around the MLB, he was offered around a six-year, $150 million contract, to which Boras and Snell's camp said, no, 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 no. We're going to hold out. We think we can play this for more money. They hold out deep into spring training, and what was originally offered, as I mentioned, 6 years, $150 million, he ends up settling with 2 years, $62 million. So obviously still a lot of money, but not quite what he could have had. It's starting to seem like Boras, after all of these years of being the top guy, getting his clients the most money. And again, if you listen to the show, you know I'm pro player. I'm pro player. You have a small window to make your money. Go make that cash. Go kind of swindle these owners for an extra $1, $2 million. I'm fine with that. But it doesn't seem, it seems like Scott Boras might have lost a little on his fastball here. He's been regarded as the best agent in the league. Well, this offseason was not great for him and his clients. Chapman, Bellinger, Snell, and Jordan Montgomery still remains a free agent, and we're a week away from opening day. Well, if you want to count, you know, the Korea series as opening day, we're a day away from opening day. But Blake Snell lands with San Francisco for a lot less money than him and Scott Boras were intending on at the start of the offseason. But nonetheless, Snell headed to San Francisco, joining guys like Logan Webb in that rotation for San Francisco, and they're all looking up at the Los Angeles Dodgers trying to chase them down what has become an all-star team over there in L.A. But Blake Snell headed to San Francisco, and Scott Boras, man, he's got to be on the hot seat a little bit. Seems like he kind of played this the wrong way. All in all, seems like he played this offseason the wrong way, and MLB teams kind of called his bluff in a sense, as his guys getting a lot less money than expected at the start of this free agent period. As I mentioned, regular season, opening day right around the corner. Every other team besides the Dodgers and San Diego will kick off Thursday the 28th, so about a week away. And every team now has announced their opening day starter. So getting into that, Brian Bello for the Sox, fresh off his new contract. He's going to be the youngest opening day starter for the Boston Red Sox since 1995. Well-deserved. Congratulations to Brian Bello. He will be going up against one of the best in the business, though. Going up against Seattle's Luis Castillo. The Red Sox start on the West Coast, so that'll be a 10 p.m. kickoff. Castillo versus Brian Bello. If you listen to this show, you know San Diego, a team that I am pretty high on coming into this season. But that's going to be a nice little pitcher's duel. I love a pitcher's duel. Tomorrow, as I mentioned, you'll have Yu Darvish versus Tyler Glasnow. And then later on, you'll have Yamamoto in that second game, Yamamoto going up against Joe Musgrove for San Diego. In the Mets versus Milwaukee, you're going to see Jose Quintana versus Freddie Peralta. Man, Jose Quintana now is the opening day starter for the Mets, who last year had Cody Senga, Max Scherzer, and Justin Verlander on that roster. You're not happy if you are a Mets fan. For Baltimore, Corbin Burnes coming over from Milwaukee will be the opening day starter, going up against Patrick Sandoval for the Los Angeles Angels. Philadelphia versus Atlanta, we have a great pitcher's duel here. Zach Wheeler, fresh off his record-breaking extension in the offseason, going up against Spencer Strider, one of the best in the business. Cincinnati versus Washington will feature Frankie Montas taking on Josiah Gray. Josiah Gray, a starter that I really like, a lot of upside from him. San Diego and Los Angeles will come back to the States right now. Who will go in that third game for them is still up in the air. For the Dodgers, if I were a betting man, I'd probably say it's going to be Bobby Miller. And for San Diego, we'll have to see. But, I mean, there's a good chance we could see Dylan Cease, who recently just got traded to San Diego. I would expect him to go in that first day back in the United States. But San Diego will play San Francisco once they come back to the United States. And Logan Webb will get the start for San Francisco's opening day, even after adding Blake Snell. As for St. Louis, who will be going up against the Dodgers once the Dodgers get back from Korea, St. Louis gives the ball to Miles Michaelis. As for Tampa Bay versus Toronto, a little battle of the AL East, we have Zach Eflin going for Tampa Bay, and Jose Berrios gets the nod for Toronto. Miami versus Pittsburgh, we got Jesus Luzardo going up against Mitch Keller. Kansas City versus Minnesota, we got Cole Reagans. I like him coming into this year. Going up against Minnesota's Pablo Lopez. Lopez coming off a career year, 200-plus strikeouts last year in his first year with the Twins. Houston versus the Yankees. We'll feature Framber Valdez going up against Nestor Cortez, as we have two injuries on this team. It usually would have been Justin Verlander going up against Garrett Cole, but both of those guys will start the season on the IL. The White Sox versus Detroit. We got Garrett Crochet taking out. Yeah, it's rough for the White Sox right now after they traded away their ace and Dylan Cease. Garrett Crochet gets the start against Tarik Skubal from the Detroit Tigers. As for Texas versus the Chicago Cubs, we got Nate Eovaldi, Nasty Nate, going up against Justin Steele. Justin Steele coming off a career year last year. Oakland versus Cleveland, we got Alex Wood taking on Shane Bieber. It's going to be the fifth straight year that Shane Bieber has got the opening day nod for the Cleveland Guardians. And finally, Arizona versus Colorado, Zach Gallen taking on Kyle Freeland in that battle in Colorado. As all the opening day starters has been announced, and it is right around the corner. As for a former opening day starter, Trevor Bauer, still trying to make his way back into the MLB. It was announced this weekend that he'll be pitching up against the Yankees as a member of the Diablos Rojos del Mexico, a Mexican league team, taking on the Yankees later on this week as he tries to get back into the MLB. Kind of seems like he's been blackballed a little bit by Major League Baseball based on the legal issues he's had over the past couple of years. We haven't seen Trevor Bauer in the major leagues, but he's trying to make a return, and he'll be going up against the Yankees for a Mexican league team this Sunday. Let's talk a little NBA here, shifting gears. About a month left in the NBA season, a little less than that, actually. And some teams dealing with some big injuries, and these are playoff hopeful teams dealing with some injuries. We'll start over in L.A. It's been announced that some big rotational pieces for them are going to miss the rest of the season. Christian Wood, Jared Vanderbilt, and Gabe Vincent are all expected to miss the rest of the season for the Los Angeles Lakers. Tough hits for them, as the depth last year for the Lakers was really what kind of propelled them in last year's playoffs. They're going to be missing a lot of that, a lot more weight on LeBron James and Anthony Davis as big rotational pieces set to miss the rest of the season for the Los Angeles Lakers. Heading east, the Cleveland Cavaliers star Donovan Mitchell will miss at least a week after having surgery today to repair a nasal fracture. Yeah, apparently in a Saturday loss to the Houston Rockets, he hurt his nose. Suffered a broken nose, and he's set to be reevaluated in about 1 week. But he should be ready to go for the playoffs, of course. Good news for the Cleveland Cavaliers, who look to be a playoff team. And speaking of playoff teams in the East, the Knicks just got OG Anunoby back after an elbow issue, but apparently the elbow issue has flared back up. He's going to be out for more than just this week right now. It looks like he's going to be reevaluated, similar to Donovan Mitchell, in about a week, but it's certainly a concern. He missed over a month due to this elbow injury for the Knicks, and now after coming back for a game or two, it seems like that elbow injury has flared back up, so bad news for the Knicks. As we take a look around the NBA, the C is still cruising. And the other night, obviously beat the Pistons last night. They've been resting a lot of guys, which I love to see. But the game, Sam Hauser went absolutely nuclear. Had 10 threes in that game, obviously left due to a sprained ankle, could have had more. But worth noting, in that game, Sam Hauser and Jason Tatum in that game against Washington became the first duo in NBA history to score at least 30 points apiece while playing fewer than 27 minutes. They weren't even out there for 30 minutes, played fewer than 27 minutes, and both those guys still had over 30 points. Celtics playing some really good basketball as the C's clinched a playoff berth over the weekend. They've now won 6 in a row, 8-2 in their last 10. They've only lost 2 games in the past 6.5 weeks. That's pretty crazy. They sit 10 games up right now on the Milwaukee Bucks. It's going to take a whole lot for any team to catch the Celtics at that top spot. It really seems like the C's, knock on wood here, are going to cruise to a first-place berth in the regular season. After that, you have Milwaukee 10 games back. Cleveland sits 11 games back, but they are just one game behind Milwaukee for second place. The Knicks sit 13 games back, 2 behind the Cleveland Cavs. After that, in fifth place, you have the Orlando Magic 14 games out, just one game behind New York sitting in fourth. Philadelphia, Tyrese Maxey's played some great ball this past week. They sit in the sixth spot. They're 16 games out, but 2 games behind Orlando for fifth. That's your top 6 in the play-in tournament right now. You have Indiana and Miami in that 7-8 spots. They're separated by just a half a game, and just one game separates them from that 6th spot where Philadelphia sits right now. After that, from 8 to 9, you have a bit of a leap. Chicago sitting in 9th, followed by the Atlanta Hawks sitting in that final spot in the 10th spot in the Eastern Conference. So that would be your play-in tournament right now. Indiana in 7, Miami in 8, Chicago 9, and Atlanta in 10. But again, Indiana and Miami still very, very close to grabbing a 6th spot. It's going to come down to it in the Eastern Conference for a few teams of who's going to have to play in that play-in tournament. Right now it would be Indiana and Miami in those 7 and 8 spots. As for the Western Conference, Oklahoma City sits in the top spot. They're a half game up on both Minnesota and Denver. Sliding a bit is the Los Angeles Clippers. They're 5 games out, sitting in 4th. And New Orleans knocking on the door. They're now 1 game behind the Clippers for that 4 spot. In 6th is the Sacramento Kings. They're 8 games out of first, 2 games behind New Orleans. Your play-in tournament as it sits would be absolutely chaos. Right now, Dallas and Phoenix with the same record at 39 and 29. They would be your 7 and 8 seeds. After that, the Lakers, who I just mentioned, sit in 9th, but the Golden State Warriors just 1 game back from the Lakers. So your play-in tournament would be Dallas, Phoenix, LA, and Golden State. That would make for absolute chaos in the Western Conference. You gotta love it. March into April, it's all about some great basketball. You got March Madness followed by the NBA playoffs. You gotta love it. With that being said, I'm gonna hit a break here. I'm gonna come back and we're gonna talk some football, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to Big Ticket on 101.1 FM and AM 1540.
McKay's the furniture you keep.
Hi, I'm Kerry McKay.
And I'm Julie McKay. At McKay's and McKay's Front Porch, we can put together a room or an entire house with a look and feel that's perfectly you.
Everything you need to create a luxurious deck, patio, or green space is here at McKay's Front Porch. We have the best selection of outdoor furniture and materials, like our selection of teak furniture, prized for its style and exceptional durability, and perfect for any outdoor living space.
We have an eye for lasting quality and how pieces come together. From full sets to finishing touches, it's simply second nature.
When you visit McKay's, you'll find more than great-looking furniture.
We're the McKay's.
Come see us in North Kingstown, where you'll find an exceptional buying experience.
McKay's, the furniture you keep.
In this festive time of year, you know that Seth and the crew will come through with a vast array of timely values at Fifth Ward Liquor. Stop by and see for yourself. Discover Bailey's Irish Cream at $27.99, Jameson 750s at $35.99, and Powers Irish Rye 175s at $39.99. Fifth Ward's stocked with the finest in Irish whiskeys. Proper 12 Irish whiskey is $29.99. Green Spot's in stock, as is Middleton Very Rare and Jameson 18 Year. And here's another great value. Jameson Orange Spritz in 4 packs, just $13.99. You know you can depend on Fifth Ward Liquor for their tried and true trio, selection, service, and savings. Fifth Ward Liquor, 695 Lois Thames, 847-4545.
The fun starts quicker with Fifth Ward Liquor. You better take the Fifth.
Can't sleep with this cold.
Honey.
Honey?
Honey. You need NyQuil Severe Honey.
NyQuil Severe Honey gives you powerful cold and flu symptom relief with a dreamy honey taste.
Feeling better, honey? Honey? I'll take that as a yes.
Try NyQuil Severe Honey for powerful cold and flu symptom relief. NyQuil Severe with honey flavor. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, fever. Honeylicious, best sleep with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Humphreys Building Supply, 1540 WADK, and Mix 99.3 present the Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce Business of the Week.
Mentor Rhode Island is the unifying champion for quality youth mentoring in Rhode Island. Their mission is to close the mentoring gap and ensure the state's youth have the support they need to succeed at home, school, and ultimately work. Go to mentorri.org for more information.
Think, be, and support local. Start with this Business of the Week.
At Humphreys Building Supply, they know a thing or two about living and building in Rhode Island. They've been doing it for over 130 years. Their commitment to this community sets them apart from the big box stores. They are here to provide you top quality products and the personal service you've come to expect. So whether you're looking for doors, windows, paint, or are considering a kitchen redesign or an addition to your house, you need to visit one of their locations in Tiverton at 590 Main Road or Middletown at 8 Cottington Highway or Humphreys Paint Center at 750 Aquidneck Avenue. Online at buildwiththeh.com.
Take WADK to work for the talk of the town with Bruce Newberry. Bruce talks with local newsmakers, local celebrities, and you. Weekday mornings from 9 to noon, WADK.
All right, back here on the Big Ticket, talk a little NFL as the NFL offseason rolls on. Been very entertaining so far in the NFL. A lot of movement. And we have the most recent wide receiver, Diva wide receiver, seems like requesting a trade, kind of. Brandon Ayuk, who hasn't posted on Twitter since April of 2023, almost a year ago, tweeted today tagging Coach Tomlin of the Pittsburgh Steelers saying, "They're saying we're twins. What do you think?" Basically alluding to the fact that Brandon Ayuk wants to head to Pittsburgh. And now the San Francisco 49ers have announced that they are listening to trades for Brandon Ayuk. So basically the second major wide receiver to hit the market, the trade market, that is, him and T. Higgins. This is like a PSA to the New England Patriots. Don't be the Boston Red Sox. Make a move for one of these wide receivers. I've backed kind of the New England Patriots in this offseason, basically saying, listen, I know there wasn't any splashes. So far, I feel like they've done a decent job. There hasn't been any high-risk contracts, and that's what you kind of are looking for in a rebuild. This is a full rebuild here in New England. Make no mistake about it. This is going to take time. There's going to have to be patience. But with that being said, you now have the opportunity to grab one of these two very young receivers, Brandon Ayuk, just 26 years old, coming off probably the best year of his career, played in 16 games, had 1,342 receiving yards and 7 touchdowns. T. Higgins coming off kind of a down year where he was hurt, but still just 25 years old and only played 4 seasons so far. So you have the opportunity here to grab a great receiver for whoever you're going to bring in, whether it's Drake May or Jaden Daniels, with that number 3 overall pick, because you know it's going to be a quarterback. You know a rookie quarterback's coming into New England. They're not going to roll with Jacoby Brissett as the long-term starter. So let's try to help out this new quarterback by not making the same mistakes you made with Mac Jones, which is a revolving door as his offensive coordinator and offensive coaching staff, a kind of up and down offensive line, and no receivers to throw to, no weapons to throw to. Let's address that. Yeah, I think KJ Osborne was a great piece to bring in, a relatively younger receiver that can slot in as your number 3 guy. But bringing in a guy like Brandon Ayuk or T. Higgins, you get a prolific wide receiver for your new rookie quarterback to kind of depend on. That we can't make the same mistakes that you made with Mac Jones. Brandon Ayuk and T. Higgins have been made available. They are on the trade market. Whoever's pulling the strings, Elliot Wolf, Robert Kraft, man, let's make a move. Don't be the Boston Red Sox. Don't do it. This is a move where it's not a guy like Mike Williams or Keenan Allen or guys a little bit past their prime, or not necessarily past their prime, but aging. Brandon Ayuk and T. Higgins still have the best years of their career ahead of them. You have an opportunity. Don't drop the ball. Don't drop the ball, Patriots. You got two great wide receivers in the trade market. Pull the trigger on one of these guys. Speaking of pulling the trigger, Jerry Jeudy, who was traded to the Cleveland Browns from the Denver Broncos, he's agreed on an extension with his new team, the Cleveland Browns. He's agreed to a 3-year contract extension worth up to $58 million, including $41 million fully guaranteed. So Cleveland making moves. Amari Cooper aging a bit. He's on that wide receiving core as well. But Jerry Jeudy, still young. They're listen, like Patriots, did you see that? See what the Cleveland Browns just did? Traded for a wide receiver, instantly extended him? Follow that blueprint. Jerry Jeudy gets a new contract again, $41 million fully guaranteed. He's going to three-year extension, could be worth up to $58 million. Good move by the Cleveland Browns. As for some other free agent news, the New Orleans Saints, who signed defensive end Chase Young on a one-year $13 million contract, announced today that Young will be undergoing a neck procedure that is expected to sideline him into training camp. The expectation is that he will be able to return for the start of the season, but teams were aware of this neck issue, and that seems to be kind of why there wasn't as much of an attraction to Chase Young in the offseason, as he landed just a one-year deal with New Orleans Saints worth $13 million. So he is expected to be back for the regular season, but as we know, in Chase Young's past, he hasn't really been able to recover from those injuries as quickly as I think teams may hope. So we'll have to see if that's the case here with his new team in the New Orleans Saints. As for some other free agent news, to the offensive line, the Cincinnati Bengals have agreed to a contract with former Patriot Trent Brown. The veteran offensive tackle is headed to the Cincinnati Bengals on a one-year deal. So he's headed to a team that has really tried to retool that offensive line over the past 2 years. With Joe Burrow being their franchise guy, they've gone out and got Orlando Brown. Obviously got Jonah Williams on contract this past year as well. So adding and bolstering to that offensive line, they go grab Trent Brown from the New England Patriots. I don't think any Patriots fan really thought Trent Brown was going to come back based on kind of his attitude at the end of the season there in December with the Pats. He is headed to the Cincinnati Bengals. As for another offensive lineman, former Baltimore Ravens Pro Bowl guard Kevin Zeitler has agreed to join the Detroit Lions. That was announced today. Zeitler, one of the more underrated guards in the NFL, agreed to a one-year contract. So he is headed to a very loaded Detroit Lions offensive line. Good move for the Lions, who really have tried to prioritize the run under the Dan Campbell regime. And they get a great guard in Kevin Zeitler over there on a one-year deal with the Detroit Lions. As for a quarterback, the San Francisco 49ers agreed on a one-year contract with Josh Dobbs. Josh Dobbs headed over to San Francisco on a one-year deal. He'll likely replace Sam Darnold as the 49ers' backup to Brock Purdy. Interestingly enough, Darnold went to Minnesota, which is where Josh Dobbs is coming from. Minnesota still not really with a clear path as to what the heck they are doing at that quarterback position after the Kirk Cousins era is over. So they do have Darnold under contract, but I don't know if you want to head into the season with Sam Darnold as your starting quarterback. That might annoy a lot of people, your fans, and most importantly, Justin Jefferson, who has already kind of hinted at wanting out of Minnesota. But Josh Dobbs headed from Minnesota to San Francisco. He will likely be the backup for Brock Purdy. With that being said, I'm going to hit a break here. I'm going to come back and wrap up the show with the bold takes. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Big Ticket on 101.1 FM and AM 1540.
With all of the stress in the world, the last thing you need to worry about is what to do after a car accident. That's why you call Carl's Collision Center. We have two convenient locations in Newport and Fall River and make the whole process easy. When you choose Carl's Collision, you can trust your vehicle is in the right hands. Our technicians are trained by many of the manufacturers with certifications from Mercedes-Benz, Tesla, Ford, and many others. Carl's Collision Center is building it new all over again. Visit us at carlscollision.com.
Social Security belongs to you. You work hard and pay into it, so it's only fair for you to expect to get the money you've earned to help cover living expenses and bills, and not for politicians to use as a piggy bank. That's why AARP is fighting to protect your Social Security, so you get what you've earned. I'm Katherine Taylor with AARP Rhode Island, and I invite you to learn more at aarp.org/youearnedit. That's aarp.org/youearnedit, paid for by AARP.
Did you know 1 in 3 young people will grow up without a mentor? Big Brothers Big Sisters is an incredible organization whose goal is to support the development of healthy youth by addressing their need for positive adult contact.
Join Nairobi in making a big difference today by supporting Big Brothers Big Sisters and donate your clean, like new clothes.
To donate today, visit any of your neighborhood Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses locations or go to Cardi's.com.
Your contribution can create a huge impact on someone's life.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Get the latest news 24/7 at WADK.com. 1540 WADK. WADK.
All right, back here on The Big Take in our final segment. So it's time for the Bold Takes, where I take a player, a team, and a stance. Before I get into my first player tonight, a little update on one of my players from last week, my man Isaiah Thomas. I mentioned last week, or 2 weeks ago maybe, that he was signing a G League deal with the Utah Jazz's G League team, the Salt Lake City team over there in the G League. He played just 4 games. Where he was averaging 33 points on 45% from beyond the arc. And he has now been signed by the Phoenix Suns, an 11-year vet, 2-time All-Star. He signed a 10-day contract with the Phoenix Suns. I really hope that IT can you know, get some minutes with the Phoenix Suns. I'm always rooting for my man IT. But listen, we know what IT is. Like, if there's one thing IT can bring to your team, it's scoring. That we know. No doubt about that. He could be 50 years old. That man knows how to score the rock. Again, in just 4 games with that G League squad, averaging 33 points. He scored 30 points or more in all 4 games. That man can score no matter where you put him. I'm always rooting for Isaiah Thomas. Getting into my players tonight, my first player tonight is Charles Barkley. In a game, it was against the Phoenix Suns, I believe, Thursday night. A timeout was called, and after the timeout was called, Royce O'Neal just tried to throw up a shot like you see NBA players do after a whistle. They just throw up a meaningless shot. Well, it was right by the Celtics bench, and Joe Mazzulla tried to block the shot, which was hilarious. It was great. That just shows you kind of the Joe Mazzulla, you know, energy that he brings. If, you know, guys, people from here, people that watch Celtics fans from here know that this has been Joe Mazzulla his whole career, as these past 2 years as the Celtics coach. He's just intense and just brings that energy. He doesn't want to see you get another shot up, even if it doesn't count. But Charles Barkley commented on it. He said, "I would have knocked the hell out of him. I'm not going to lie. I would have hit him. I'm going to tell you why I don't like it. What if he stepped on his ankle and hurt himself badly? He can't do that. Come on, man. Chuck, first of all, let's get one thing straight. Joe Mazzulla would knock you out, buddy. Like, listen, I like that halftime show and pregame show that they do on TNT. Shaq and Chuck are instant entertainment, but both of those guys are classic living in the past guys. Like, they don't realize that they're old and they're out of shape now. Joe Mazzulla is a black belt in Taekwondo or whatever he does and in the best shape of his life. Joe Mazzulla would knock you out, Chuck. Let's get that straight, first of all. And second of all, he wasn't going to hurt him. Joe Mazzulla was just trying to mess around and contest a shot. There was nothing, you know, aggressive or in any way trying to hurt Royce O'Neal. Come on, Chuck. Are you're worried about the player safety here? Really? You think he's going to get rolled up? Like, come on. This is a classic guy thinking he's still in his prime, saying, "I would have knocked the hell out of him." No, you wouldn't, Chuck. And I would love to see you say that to Joe Mazzulla's face. You wouldn't. You wouldn't. Charles Barkley. Again, this is a guy that is a black belt. So, yeah, no, you're probably not going to knock him out. You're a good 50, 60, 70 pounds overweight? Probably not. It's probably not going to happen. And again, there was nothing malicious about Joe Mazzulla's act. Like, if Royce O'Neal had a problem with it, Royce O'Neal would have said something after the game. I'm pretty sure I saw Royce O'Neal smirk at Joe Mazzulla, give him a smile. That's just the intensity that Joe Mazzulla brings to a game. You gotta love it, especially us if you're a Celtics fan. So Charles Barkley, come on, man. Like, those guys on TNT, between Shaq and Chuck, I don't think either one of them realized that they're like 10, 15 years since their playing days. They're not the athletes that they were anymore. They're very much out of shape. They're a lot slower than they once were. But in their heads, they still believe that they're like that 25-year-old NBA player. It's just, you gotta look in the mirror and be real with yourself here, Chuck. Charles Barkley, my first player tonight. My second player tonight is Andrew Tolis. You don't know Andrew Tolis? Well, Andrew Tolis hasn't played in an MLB game since 2018. He was diagnosed with bipolar disorder and schizophrenia. He was with the Dodgers, and the Dodgers have signed Tolis to a contract every year since then so he could retain his health insurance for treatment. The Dodgers this year re-signed him for the sixth straight year. And again, he hasn't been in their organization since 2018, since the diagnosis. Just a good news. Respect to the Dodgers for this. Like, it's easy enough to give the guy those health benefits. He was with your program. He's not anymore, but, you know, he was a good player and a respected guy within the organization when he was with the team. So the Dodgers just doing the right thing. I like to see that these big million-dollar, billion-dollar corporations actually do the right thing, because it's very rare, unfortunately. Like, John Henry would never do this. I have no faith that John Henry would do this for a former Boston Red Sox player. So shout out the Dodgers. Just a good move, and hopefully they keep doing this for him. It's a sixth straight year that they've given him a contract just so that he can retain the health insurance for treatment. So good on the Dodgers. You really, as easy as it sounds and as easy as it should be, you don't see teams and billion-dollar organizations do this as frequently as you would hope. So shout out Andrew Tolis. Hope he's doing well. And shout out the Dodgers for this one. My third player tonight is J.J. Redick. J.J. Redick announced that him and LeBron James are teaming up on a podcast planned to be just a pure basketball conversation. The first show will debut actually today and is expected to be weekly, running 45 minutes to an hour per episode. It'll be available on YouTube and all podcast platforms. There will be other guests on the show, according to J.J. Redick, but I like to see this. J.J. Redick kind of made waves when he commented that his comments about, you know, kind of dissing Doc Rivers got way more views and clicks than his usual kind of basketball X's and O's clips do. And he wanted to just get back to basketball. For someone like me who really likes the game and wants to hear stuff like this, I'm excited to kind of hear from J.J. Redick, who analytically I think is really good and really well-spoken. And LeBron James. I mean, say what you want about LeBron James. You don't have to like him, but you got to respect the guy. He knows the game. His basketball IQ is probably second to none. So hearing those same two guys on a podcast just purely talking about basketball, purely going through the X's and O's, what happened this night, why did that team go on a 20-0 run, blah, 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 things like that, I am genuinely excited for. Because, again, LeBron James, you might not like him, but the guy knows his stuff. Let's be honest about that. He actually did have a comment on a podcast recently that I love to see. Because Jason Tatum gets so much unwarranted hate at times. LeBron James kind of commented on that, and he said, referring to Tatum, he said, he's 25 years old, and I believe he has been to the conference finals four times and to the NBA finals once. He's 25. I didn't win my first one until I was 28. I think Joker won his first one at 27. I think MJ was at 28 as well. I think we have a lot of expectations on JT, but he's experienced a lot of winning in his career so far. And obviously, everyone wants to see him get over that hump, but four conference finals and a finals appearance before the age of 26 is elite. So I like to hear that from LeBron, and I actually am excited for that podcast, just kind of actually getting into the basketball side of things, not the entertainment stuff, just X's and O's, pure basketball. As for another athlete dipping into some media here, it was also announced that Travis Kelce signed on to host a reboot of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? That's going to be premiere on Amazon Prime. So that old show is, I think, hosted by Jeff Foxworthy. What, like 10 years ago? Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Where contestants would answer fifth grade questions. I kind of had a beef with that show back when I watched it. Like, some of those questions were not fifth grader questions. They were harder than that. But hey, Travis Kelce getting into some media himself. So we got some athletes in media, but JJ Redick, my third player tonight. Speaking of athletes in media, my fourth player tonight is Robert Griffin III. Robert Griffin posted a long video on Twitter basically saying that Caleb Williams should pull the Eli Manning and tell the Chicago Bears he's not coming. He won't go to Chicago if he's drafted. Basically saying, Chicago, don't draft me. I don't want to be there. And he goes on this video on a rant because he thinks that Chicago did Justin Fields dirty. I don't think that this... Well, listen, obviously, there was things that Chicago could have done different with Justin Fields. Like, they kind of threw him into the wind his first game going up against one of the best defenses in the Browns, where he got sacked like 9 times that day. Gave him kind of a revolving door at OC, a really bad defense his second year, all that. Yeah, they didn't do some things right. But you could point at the Patriots that same way with Mac Jones. And with that being said, RG3, are you not aware, first of all, Ryan Poles traded Justin Fields to where he wanted to go. Fields wanted to go to Pittsburgh. They had other offers out there, and Robert Poles, Ryan Poles did right by Justin Fields by saying, listen, I'll send you where you want. I know this is a bad situation. So first of all, Ryan Poles, the GM of Chicago, did right by Justin Fields in that aspect. There's a lot of times where players don't get a say of where they're traded to. So Ryan Poles did right by Justin Fields there. Secondly, to say to Caleb Williams, tell Chicago you don't want to go? That's idiotic, because all Ryan Poles in Chicago has done in the offseason is basically retooled that whole entire team to cater to Caleb Williams. They've basically retooled that whole team. They brought in more offensive linemen. They added to that defense, which was a big issue for Justin Fields in his second year. Justin Fields in that offense was constantly on that field because that Chicago defense could not stop a nosebleed. So they retooled that defense. On top of that, they go out and get a legitimate workhorse running back in DeAndre Swift. They go out and get a legitimate number two receiver in Keenan Allen. Now you have a top 10 tight end in Cole Kmet, two great receivers in DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, and an actual workhorse running back behind now what is a decent offensive line. If you're Caleb Williams, you're coming into a situation where if you play well enough, that team's ready to win. So RG3, you're giving this kid bad advice because, okay, fine, he doesn't want to go to Chicago. What's next? You want to go to Washington where they're in a new ownership, a new head coach? Everything's brand new. They're still trying to figure things out. You want to go to the Patriots at number 3 where they're in a full rebuild and haven't committed a whole lot of money to anyone? Chicago is the best destination for a guy like Caleb Williams. RG3, this is awful advice, and I'm sure Caleb Williams won't even listen to it, but RG3, what are you even saying? This is just idiotic. You're my fourth player tonight. My fifth player tonight is Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards absolutely destroyed John Collins last night. I've never seen a more vicious dunk than what happened last night in Minnesota. Anthony Edwards gets the ball around the free throw line on a pass, takes 2 steps, and just ruins John Collins' career. That was one of the most ferocious dunks I think I've ever seen. So bad that John Collins came out of the game for what they're calling a head contusion. My man Anthony Edwards dunked on him so hard, he almost put him in the concussion protocol. That's how bad it was. The reactions from some of the players on the sidelines was hilarious. It looked like Anthony Edwards, I mean, he cleared everything. It was crazy. Magic Johnson commented on it. He said, Anthony Edwards is the greatest in-game dunker in the NBA today and one of the most exciting and electrifying players because of his athleticism. His dunk reminds me of the best in the game dunkers I've played against. Dr. J, Michael Jordan, and Dominique Wilkins. I don't think that's an overreaction. Anthony Edwards is definitely one of the best dunkers in the NBA. And him just slamming it on John Collins' head. Whew, I'm sorry, John Collins, man. You didn't deserve that, dog. I hope you're doing all right. Anthony Edwards, what a dunk. What a dunk. My final player tonight is Chris Bassett. Chris Bassett, Toronto Blue Jays starting pitcher. He went on a podcast this past week saying he basically thinks pitchers are starting to get hurt because teams are so obsessed with velocity and what your fastball sits on. He went on to say, human bodies are made to throw 91, 92 miles an hour, and that's okay. And it is an interesting take, but I don't disagree with him. You do have so many organizations that it does seem like they're focused on adding another 2 to 3 miles an hour on these starting pitchers. You know, you see so many reports, especially this time of year in spring training, where you see this guy, X guy, is in the best shape of his life. He's added 2 to 3 miles an hour on his fastball. That's not necessarily what you need. A guy like Chris Bassett has made himself a great career and has been a great pitcher now for the past 5 or so years, and he sits right around 91, 92 miles an hour on that fastball. He's got great location, and he's got great off-speed stuff. But when you're pressuring these guys, you got to throw a little bit harder. You got to throw a little bit harder. That's when you overlift. That's when you overdo it. And that's a lot of cases, mainly mostly with younger guys, whether it's high school, college. But that's where you run into the arm issues. Trying to sit yourself at 99, 100 miles an hour rather than working on your location, working on your mechanics, working on your flexibility, working on some of your off-speed pitches. That's where you kind of run into the arm issues. So Chris Bassett, I appreciate this take. I like it, and it's interesting, but I don't agree with him. I don't disagree. I apologize. I don't disagree with him, and I credit Chris Bassett for saying it. Chris Bassett, my final player tonight. All right, my teams tonight. We got some really bad games in the NBA tonight. I think only 5 total games. I'm just going to hit on the first one that's on NBA TV tonight. That's the Timberwolves at home taking on the Denver Nuggets. Basically, everybody for the T-Wolves is questionable. Apparently, on that dunk last night, Anthony Edwards did dislocate a finger, I was told. So he's questionable for this game, as is Rudy Gobert. No Karl Anthony Towns. But with that being said, man, it's an 8.5-point spread for the T-Wolves, who are at home against a team with the same exact record as them. The Nuggets and T-Wolves both sit at 47-21. This game will be for second place in the Western Conference. And the Nuggets on the road are 8.5-point favorites. I just felt like that was too much points for a Timberwolves team who has had injuries all year and every single time has been able to overcome it. I mean, we thought when Karl Anthony Towns went down, they would slip big time. Instead, they're still right in the mix, just a half game behind OKC for first. So I'll rock with the Timberwolves here tonight at home at +8.5. I think that's a little disrespectful spread. I'll take the T-Wolves at +8.5 against the Nuggets. That's NBA TV tonight. Later on tonight in the play-in games, Wagner and Howard going at it for a 16-seed bid in the March Madness. We talked about Wagner last week, how they won their conference championship with 7 players. They only had 2 guys coming off the bench. I love that story, and I'm rooting for him. I'm going Wagner tonight at +3.5 over Howard. That is 6:40 tonight on True TV. And then finally, in the NIT matchup, yeah, PC, we're all disappointed they didn't make the dance, but they are in the NIT tournament, and they're actually going up against a New England rival, Boston College. So I'm going to go with PC tonight, Providence, at -3.5 over Boston College. That game's the NIT, first round of the NIT tournament, 7 p.m. on ESPNU. So to lock that parlay in, I'm taking the Minnesota Timberwolves at +8.5, Wagner at +3.5, and Providence College at -3.5. Lock that parlay in, get yourself some walking around money, and support those local businesses. All right, my stance tonight, it was announced that Kirk Cousins will wear number 18 with the Atlanta Falcons, and Kyle Pitts will keep number 8. Kyle Pitts, bad move, my man. Bad move. Give the quarterback number 8, man. Like, it's a number. It's a number. Listen, I was number 9 my whole baseball career. I love the number, Teddy Williams. But if a guy comes in, and obviously it's a little bit different for football, but a guy comes in that can help you win games and win you a Super Bowl and get you the ball in this case, in Kirk Cousins, give him the number. It's just a number, dude. Like, you had the opportunity to get off to a great relationship start with your new quarterback, and that's something you haven't had your whole career with the Falcons. Hey, man, I'm Kyle Pitts. You know, you're the quarterbacks. You can have number 8. No big deal. Just throw me the ball a few times. You should have gone that way, Kyle, man. You had the opportunity. That's your starting quarterback. That's your guy. Just give him the number 8, dude. Bad move, Kyle. Bad move. My second stance tonight is I love Dan Hurley for sticking up for the Big East. In his press conference ahead of the March Madness, Dan Hurley just kind of ripped the committee for not having only having 3 Big East teams in the tournament. He stood up for the Big East. He stood up for teams like St. John's, Providence, Villanova, guys like that, Seton Hall. I love that. Dan Hurley didn't have to do it. You know, he's a number 1 seed. He's proven that they're the kings of the Big East. He didn't have to talk about that, but he did. He stood up for the Big East and said that it's crazy that the Big East only had 3 teams in the mix, which I love to see. I love Dan Hurley sticking up for the Big East. Never changed Dan Hurley. Kim English also talked about it a little bit in a press conference. He said, I think analytics are BS. He obviously said the actual word BS. I will not. But it is pretty crazy. Shout out Dan Hurley for sticking up for his conference. And finally, my final stance tonight is Caitlin Clark has absolutely captured the hearts of this nation. Listen to this stat. 6 times as many tickets have been sold for the women's Final Four compared to the men's Final Four this season. That is the Caitlin Clark effect right there. She has captured the nation's hearts. I love it. I've said it for the past year or so. What she has done for women's sports as a whole, is absolutely monumental. She has been just incredible, and she's got me watching. Like, I filled out a women's bracket this year, and shout out to Caitlin Clark, because what she's doing for women's sports is awesome to see. Again, 6 times as many tickets for the women's Final Four have been sold rather than the men's Final Four. Pretty awesome. Gotta love Caitlin Clark. With that being said, that is going to do it for me here in the studio. I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time as always. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. You've been listening to The Big Ticket with Teddy Horn on 101.1 FM, AM 1540, and WADK.com. Have yourself a phenomenal night.
WADK Newport, powered by BD Volvo Cars and Mercedes-Benz of Tiverton. WADK, the voice of Newport.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Before starting his 4-month prison sentence, Peter Navarro, one-time advisor to former President Trump, vowed to win his appeal after being convicted of contempt of Congress for defying a January 6th committee subpoena. ABC's Catherine Falder says more.
He's saying this is politically...